Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on board. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues. Let me remind you each day as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on the denominational dogmas with their rites and rituals and rules and regulations, but what does the Scripture say? That's the first, the foremost, and the final source book for us to go to is the Bible. Jesus said of the Scripture, "Thy word is truth." He spoke that in John 17:17. He'd already said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, there's freedom in Christ in and through the word of God. I'm thankful that you're tuned in. I pray that it's a blessing, a challenge, an inspiration, and encouragement to you on a daily basis as we face the variety of issues. Issues that may emanate from the home, the church, government, any of the issues that we face, ladies and gentlemen, we have the answer already pre-written in the Word of God as to what we ought to do and how we should do, and it's based on God's wisdom through God's Word. From Genesis through the book of Revelation, God has unveiled and revealed himself to us that we might know how we're to live. In fact, the Scripture says in Psalms that the Word of God should be a light unto our pathway and a lamp unto our feet. And that's the way we should view the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, before we announce the issue today and get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion on that, let me remind you of two things. Number one, if you want to dial in and join the dialogue and discussion, you can do so by calling 831-0917, 831-0917. That's our new call-in telephone number, 831-0917. That gets your telephone call right through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have dialogue and discussion on any issue on a day-by-day basis. Second thing I want to remind you of, worship services at First Conservative Baptist Church. Sunday morning at 9:30, we have the Bible study program, a unique opportunity for you to sit with others in your age group, with the men, the ladies, etc., so you can sit together, discuss the Scripture, study the Bible, and have open dialogue and discussion and a small group discussion. I find that multitudes learn the Scripture better if there's an opportunity for them to have dialogue and discussion over the Scripture. That's at 9:30 on Sunday morning. At 10:45 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, we have our Sunday worship services. We met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. We'd be delighted to have you to worship with us. Let me say this. If you're looking for a place that you can place your membership and your involvement and activity in serving the Lord, we'd love to have you consider First Conservative Baptist Church. We are expository Bible preaching, Bible teaching, verse by verse by verse through the Scripture. The music that we have in our church is what some call the old-fashioned gospel music. That's all right. Call it old-fashioned. Nothing old-fashioned about the Bible and nothing old-fashioned about the Word of God, though it is old-fashioned. It is modern every day in its same form and style without modulating or changing it. So we have the gospel music. You can understand the words. You can understand its praise and honor and adoration for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So let me invite you one of those worship services to be with us Sunday morning and Sunday evening, 10:45 a.m., 7 p.m., Bible study at 9:30. We're located exactly 1 mile, precisely 1 mile, south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. If you're coming from I-95, it's exit 335. We're exactly 3.5 miles north of I-95 on Old San Augustine Road. Be delighted to have you. Looking forward to meeting you. We met on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, which is basically a wrap-up study that we've done for several weeks on the acronym that's found in Calvinism, Reformed Theology. Calvinism, and the acronym for that is TULIP. We'll be talking about that in a moment, but by way of an introduction, a brief monologue to get to that subject, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about work salvation. Do you need to keep on doing good works to stay saved? I've used the term of pedaling the bicycle. You got to keep pedaling it fast enough that it doesn't fall over. And some feel that that's what they're having to do. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many things in life today, but there are very few things in life that we're able to place in full trust and our full trust and confidence in. Some think that you can place your trust and confidence in various things only to find that you're deceived and that somehow, some way it fails. At one time, ladies and gentlemen, we could place our trust and confidence in marriage, looking at it as being permanent rather than a lifetime contract. Today, marriage seems to be a 90-day option, and there's no stability in that. And I could go down the whole litany of things today that seemingly has no stability in it. Life is lived in such a way today, in such a temporary fashion, that multitudes, even as believers, seem to have no assurance of biblical salvation. After we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, what else do we need to do? How do you maintain your salvation? How do you know that you're saved? What do you have to do to keep saved? Ladies and gentlemen, when we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, there should be peace and tranquility in our hearts and minds that we're secure in our eternal security, our eternal salvation. Biblical assurance of salvation does not depend upon one's performance, but upon the gospel truth that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And it's upon Jesus' promise that whosoever will, whoever believes in him as Savior and as Lord, can receive that free, unconditional gift of eternal life. But ladies and gentlemen, here's where the rub comes in, if you want to call it that. Here's where the consternation comes in for so many. In the doctrinal teachings of Calvinism and Reformed theology, and there are several other titles to it, but it's Reformed theology, Calvinism, under that theological persuasion, the assurance of salvation is absent. Hear me. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, and ponder this, may I just simply insert this question? Have you ever come to the point and place in your life that you realize you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you recognize that you can't save yourself? Only Jesus Christ shed blood can, and you invite Christ to come in and save you. If you've done that, then I'm thankful for that. If you've done that, what do you have to do to maintain that salvation? Ladies and gentlemen, there's where the false, phony, farce doctrine of Calvinism, John Calvin back in the 1500s, John Calvin, one of the so-called reformers, John Calvin, one that had major aberrant theology, but was viewed as being a biblicist, but destroyed the context of his writings and preaching on the scripture. But there's developed under Calvinism the TULIP. That's the acronym. That stands for total depravity. That T stands for total depravity, that says man is so depraved that he cannot say yes to Jesus. Therefore, God has to save him outside of his own free will. Then there's the unconditional election, that God elects some to salvation, but others he predestines to hell. And it's unconditional. God does it. You don't have to do anything. That's what we're talking about now, the false theology. And the third thing is the limited atonement. That is that Christ shed blood atoned for the sins of only God's elect. Jesus shed blood under this theological doctrinal teaching is not sufficient for the whole world, but only the elect, those that are limited to the ones that God has predetermined, will be saved. Then the fourth thing is the I is irresistible grace. And irresistible grace literally teaches that God, through the Holy Spirit, is drawing you unto himself. And if you're part of God's future tense elect, that you cannot say no. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, is wooing every human being on the face of the earth to himself. He is wooing and drawing man unto himself. But multitudes will say no. So irresistible grace is a fallacy. Man can say no to Christ. Man can reject Jesus. Man can reject salvation. And then the final in the TULIP, and we'll talk about that today, is what is called the perseverance of the saints. The perseverance of the saints. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, simply put, means that the Calvinists, so-called elect, will be ultimately brought into the throne room of God in heaven by continuing in their keeping on of good works. Based upon the continuation of good works, then God determines if you're really his elect. Now, let's just put it a little bluntly and clearly. Under the perseverance of the saints that is taught in Calvinism, that if you're one of God's elect, only way that you know that you're elect, i.e. saved, is if you keep on keeping on doing good works. Now, I don't know of anything that's any more frustrating to my mind than that, than to think that you've got to keep on pedaling the bicycle to stay saved. Dr. Phelps is with me today. Dr. Phelps is Bible and Theology Professor at Conservative Theological University. By the way, in the next few days, we'll be talking about the summer and the fall semester, inviting you to call in, schedule a time that we can interview, see if we can get you on board in the study of God's Word and Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, you've heard my opening monologue and my statements about the TULIP, and most focus today is the perseverance of the saints. Dr. Phelps, we're delighted to have you with us today. Looking forward to this time together, and I pray that it's a blessing to our listeners. Dr. Phelps, is the perseverance of the saints, is that doctrine biblical?
I have not found that in any specific verse in the Bible, but the Bible does tell us that we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we believe that salvation is by grace through faith. And I'm going to make a statement here that may shock some of you. Our attempts to attain or maintain salvation and eternal life by works is an affront to our Savior. It's to say, you're not believing that God's plan of salvation is sufficient. See, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly. And so the Word of God teaches that you and I are saved by God's mercy and by God's grace. It's only God's mercy that we can ever be saved, not of works, lest any man should boast.
So, Dr. Phelps, if, and that is correct in the Scripture, and if Scripture is correct, and it certainly is, it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And if that is the case, and it certainly is, then what's being taught, and by mega millions, ladies and gentlemen, this thing of Calvinism, Reformed theology, is found in many, many, if not most, of your major denominational lines today. There are many today of multitudes of the denominations that believe in and teach and preach Calvinism. In fact, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're in a church today, and you do not realize it's Reformed theology. You do not realize the essence of what's being taught. You simply hear the surface of it. You've not studied it for yourself. I urge you, I encourage you to seek out and find in your doctrinal statement for your church, find out where you stand. Do you believe that God's predestined some to hell and some to heaven? That's called double predestination in theological doctrinal circles. But you need to be careful. We need to be careful of what is believed. The Berean Christians said in Acts 17:11, search the Scriptures daily to see if what's being said is true. And Dr. Phelps, I believe that is so vital today for Christians to study the Scripture themselves, not just believe what somebody is saying or what somebody has written, what somebody says on radio or television, but what does the Word of God say? Dr. Phelps, we talk about salvation is by grace through faith, that grace and faith factor is so vital. Then, if you would, tell us, once a person is saved, Dr. Phelps, is there a requirement to continue to do works? once a person is saved, is there a need to do anything else? Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that once you're saved, you don't have to go to church. Once you're saved, you don't have to pray. Once you're saved, you don't have to study the Word. A person that presumes upon God in that fashion may not even be saved. But once a person is saved, Dr. Phelps, the question is, are we always saved?
The Word of God teaches us that we can be sure of our salvation. We don't have a hope-so kind of salvation.
That's right.
We have a no-so kind of salvation. The Apostle Paul says something very interesting in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I know whom I have believed. That's in the Savior.
That's right.
And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I believe he's talking about his eternal salvation.
Yes.
And his soul. When we try to attain or maintain salvation and eternal life by works, it's doubting that God is able to keep you saved. We believe the Scripture teaches us that God keeps us. 1 Peter 1:5 says we're kept by the power of God unto salvation. And we believe that we need a real kind of faith, not man's opinion. There's a difference between what we call opinion and real faith. Opinion is based upon the hearsay or the teachings of men, while faith is based upon the Holy Scriptures. Paul said to young Timothy that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you faith or make you confident so that you can know about eternal life and salvation. See, opinion may be compared to the weather vane. It can change the direction as the wind changes.
That's right.
Opinion can change with every wind of doctrine. Therefore, opinion is uncertain. According to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 14, we're not to be undeveloped or uncertain. We're not to be immature in our faith, but God wants us to grow up in our faith and so that we can be certain. What we believe should be based upon the sure Word of God. God's Word is unchangeable. And according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Word of God can help us to be steadfast in the faith. So real faith is really important. According to the Word of God, we can believe God's Word, and that will dispel our doubts and bring us to real faith. Faith is spiritual confidence.
Yes.
Biblical faith is the kind of faith we need to have. We exercise wholehearted confidence in the promises of God. For example, Abraham had confidence in what God had promised him back in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 15. God called Abraham to leave his country, his kindred, his father's house, and go to a land that he would show him. And the record shows that God led him all the way. God did not quit until Abraham was in the promised land. Abraham believed God. That's real faith. According to Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, Abraham did not stagger or fall back, fall away, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. God doesn't do anything halfway.
That's right. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I say you're talking about faith. I've used the little slogan down through the years probably 1,000 times in the pulpit and teaching in the classroom. The faith that faltered before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. The key to it is having biblical saving faith. Yes. And you don't have to, once you've got that saving faith, once you've said yes to Jesus, you don't have to keep pedaling that bicycle to make sure that you stay saved.
Yes, real faith creates in us the confidence that we need. If we have real faith, Bible faith, saving faith, it's the confidence that God has called us by the gospel of Christ, and he'll not quit until he has brought us into glory, into heaven. God begins the work of salvation in us. He continues the work of salvation, and he will complete the work of salvation. What God begins, he finishes. According to 1 Thessalonians 2:12, God has called us by the gospel unto the glory of God, that is, into heaven itself. Romans 8 and verse 30 indicates to us that God has a plan of redemption. God has a plan for us. Like Abraham, we're called to live by faith. We're not called to live by doubt. So saving, living faith is Bible-based. It's based upon the testimony of God, not upon the theology of men. When it's based upon the Word of God, it's a real faith. When it's based upon the testimony of men, it's not real. Real faith leads us to know that we're born of the Spirit.
Yes.
Brought out of death to life. We're Bible saved. We belong in the family of God.
Absolutely. I believe we have a caller on the line, Dr. Phelps. We'll take the caller. Caller, go ahead and give the question or comment, please.
Good morning, doctors. Dr. Youngblood, I really enjoy your alliteration, by the way.
Thank you.
Now, from deity's viewpoint, I'll just pose a couple questions. From deity's viewpoint, he evidently knows when the grace will be poured out for us, if we're, and he knows if we're going to become a believer from his viewpoint, not man's. So from his viewpoint, can't we say the grace at that time would be irresistible from his viewpoint? And since he knows from his vantage point whether we'll become justified or not, from his viewpoint, there is predestination. So can't we say from his viewpoint there's predestination, as the Reformed folks teach? And I'll just listen now for your sagacious comments.
I could answer that. I'm going to let Dr. Phelps answer that.
I think one of the things that we need to be very sure about is that we're giving the words that we use a Bible definition. The word predestination from Romans chapter 8 or from Ephesians, that first chapter, means that God has made some plans for us who are believers. God makes plans for those who are his children.
Yes. Very simply put and very clearly and succinctly stated. And to go a little deeper, Dr. Phelps, always if I'm in a classroom with the students, I draw a circle, call it that sphere. In that sphere is God. And with God, there's no time, space, or matter. With God, there's no clock or calendar. So with God in his sovereignty, everything is in the eternal presence. But with us, we have a clock and a calendar that we go by. And yes, before the foundation of the world, everybody that's ever been saved and ever shall be saved, the name's already pre-written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not because God has sovereignly determined that you're going to be saved, but because in his sovereign foreknowledge, he knows that you're going to be saved. April the 15th, 1958, I said yes to Jesus Christ, but my name was already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But when it goes back to the irresistible grace, grace can be resisted. From the human standpoint, Adam and Eve, for example, had a free will. If you say grace cannot be resisted, i.e. the irresistible grace in Calvinism, you're saying that man does not have a free will. Dr. Phelps, I have heard this so many times from so many places that God is so powerful that God has chosen whom he will save, and you cannot say no. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it simply does not happen that way. The caller is very, very clear in his statement and very clear in the question. And to be clear and giving further clarification on that, we can say no because we are free moral agents. We have volitional choice to say yes or no. And therefore, for those in the Calvinistic Reformed doctrine to believe in the TULIP, and one of that being the irresistible grace, grace, God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense can be rejected by volitional choice of man. That's the reason some will go to heaven and some will go to hell, not because God has predestined it that way. The predestination is once we're saved, he's predestined us to serve him. We're predestined, according to God's plan for us as Christians, to honor him and to serve him as Christians in our lives. And that's the reason the scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, part of that in verse 10, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yeah. Dr. Phelps, tell us further about the factor of faith and salvation and the fact that once we've placed our faith in Christ, that we cannot be unborn or unsaved or lost, and therefore we do not need to keep on pedaling that bicycle.
We believe the Bible teaches us that God keeps us by his power. 1 Peter 1:5, we're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Also, the book of Jude, way back in near the book of the Revelation, verse 24 is an unusual verse in the Bible and marvelous statement. And so when you read the truth, you'll find words like this: now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We believe that we can find in the scriptures that we have the truth. God is on our side. God is for us. We have an eternal security team.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in agreement on this matter, that they're going to keep us safe and secure. They're devoted to keeping us saved and secure. See, the God the Father keeps us by his power, 1 Peter 1:5. God the Son keeps us in his hand. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He says that he keeps us in his hand.
Yes.
Father also, he says, so we're doubly kept in that respect. But the Spirit of God also seals us in order to keep us until the day of redemption. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we're told that when we believe, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's God's guarantee, like earnest money. It's the God's guarantee that he's going to keep us until the day of redemption. So if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
God the Father spared not his own Son, but he delivered him up for us all to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. God the Son delivered us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10. And the Spirit of God dwells in those who receive Christ as Savior, and he will deliver us from the bondage of this corruptible body by changing our vile body so that it will be fashioned like Jesus' glorious resurrection body at the resurrection of life. I call that blessed assurance.
Amen. Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, that's good. In fact, got a couple of minutes left. Let's do some wrap-up thinking here. I'm looking at page 483 of the book, What Love Is This? It's subtitled Calvinism, Misrepresentation of God. It's about 550, 600 pages. And on page 483, Dr. John Piper. Dr. Piper is now retired. He was at the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pennsylvania for many, many years, Philadelphia. And he described himself, he was so hyper-Calvinist, he described himself as a seven-point Calvinist, Dr. Phelps. Not a five-point, but a seven-point Calvinist. And he said, and I quote, that no Christian can be sure that he is a true believer. Hence, there is an ongoing need to be dedicated to the Lord and deny ourselves so that we might make it. We must endure to the end in faith if we are to be saved. Dr. Phelps, how do you respond to that?
We believe that we can be sure of our eternal life. We have blessed assurance. God is on our side. And when you hear someone say that you cannot know for sure that you have eternal life and God's salvation, you're hearing the voice of doubt.
Yes.
In unbelief, if your faith is not based upon the Word of God, you'll always be uncertain about the matter of salvation. You can be sure of eternal life and of God's salvation when you receive the testimony of God. Mm-hmm. The best medicine for the disease of doubt is a good dose of truth.
Yes, I like that.
Real biblical faith is believing something is true because God said it. It's believing God. And we believe that the entire Word of God teaches us about the assurance that we can have in our God. See, the Father promised, he purposed our salvation, and eternal life. He sent his son. Son purchased our salvation. He shed his precious blood. And the Spirit preserves our salvation because he dwells within.
Yes, sirree. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. I pray that you've been blessed, encouraged, and challenged in your faith, that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. God bless you. Looking forward to next time meeting you on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.